You're listening to WFYI HD2, The Point, Indianapolis.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Hello there, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Twitter, also on Facebook, at Matthew Sozi. The show is available as a podcast, is also available on iTunes, and we have a blog which you can read at filmsociology.tumblr.com. I am not Kobe Slagle, but I'm sitting at his space. He has taken the day off, so I have to host and engineer at the same time. I lead a very difficult life, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of difficult, Joe Scheer and Richard Propst from Film Me Up and The Independent Critic are here. Thank you, guys.
I must say, you do look a lot like Kobe Slagle sitting there.
No, this is what Kobe has to look forward to. As people have jokingly thought, I was his dad for a while, so...
I could see that.
You're not?
No.
Oh.
Oh, no. No.
If only.
As I told Kobe, he's the before picture. I am the eventual after picture.
Wow.
So, but no, I appreciate you guys being here. And, of course, Joe's one of the guys of the Film Yap, and I guess he is on... Are you on Twitter right now because of today?
I'm on the Twitters, maybe not right this very
not
second.
Not this very second.
I am now.
Okay.
The Twitter?
I'm on the Twitter.
Are you getting that old?
The Twitters. We're on the Twitters.
Yeah, get off our lawn. And yeah. Of course, Richard, you're at The Independent Critic, and mm-hmm. You're working on a new book.
I am working on a new book. It's called The Red Wheel, mm-hmm. and it should be out hopefully early August.
Okay.
Have you written a book before, Richard?
I have written a book before.
And what book would that be?
It would be called The Hallelujah Life. It is available on Amazon.com. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you have such a sunny disposition, it must be fiction.
It must be. You know, I'm a happy dude. Come on, let's sing happy.
Wow.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned that once or twice on here. I know we have at least once or twice. But yeah, get it if you have not read it. Get it and read it a couple times.
You really should.
A couple times.
So you get your money's worth out of it. Read
yeah, exactly.
it more than once.
It's kind of a quick read.
Then you can resell it and you can give Richard his cut.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
You can't give him his cut. All right. Wow. Now, normally, the way the format usually goes is first we start talking about what is, well, format, whatever. But normally we talk about what is new in theaters and on DVD. Well, guess what? There's no new titles out on Blu-ray or DVD this week.
That's sad.
So, apparently they didn't want to compete with the holiday, and that's okay. So we'll get to that a little later. But something much more important has happened here in Indianapolis. And so we're gonna start the show that way because I think this is far more important than The Lone Ranger.
Yeah,
by far.
Yeah.
But I make fun of people who say we when it comes to sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we are not a member of the Cardinals or the Tigers.
We are not.
But Indianapolis and film lovers mm-hmm. and horror film lovers have lost a major part of our lives. Bob Carter, a.k.a. the original Sammy Terry, mm-hmm. who hosted his show on WTTV for, man, a couple of decades.
Yeah.
And then after it was on TV, made appearances and did the occasional offshoot. And, of course, Sammy Terry still lives on in a new form. But yeah. Bob Carter died earlier this week. I believe he was 83. Mm-hmm. And he had been in care for a while. And so... But Bob was an absolute gem and an absolute treasure, and he's just going to be missed. And it's one of those things that we didn't think would actually eventually happen, I suppose. This is how it is, man.
Yeah.
You guys aren't going to let me break down. That's good.
We won't. No, but
I will.
Make people cry for different reasons.
Growing up, I lived here intermittently. Traveled around. My stepfather was in the army, so I traveled around all over the country ostensibly. I said that earlier. I think I said it wrong.
You got to say it right here at MPB.
Yeah, or else you get mocked. And
call Tyler Hansborough.
There you go. There you go.
Sent to network television.
Every time I went to the library.
Right.
I was exposed to a lot of Elvira.
Not as much as we wanted to. I know.
But anyway, I had that comparison. But whenever I was coming back here, that was one of the things that I know you're back. Yeah, I walked into my grandmother's house, and we had blankets set up in front of the floor, on the floor in front of the TV, and we were gonna kind of hunker down and watch some Sammy Terry, and it was the scariest thing in the world. The scariest thing in the world. And then when I would move back, we'd watch Elvira, and I'd sit here and I'd go, Sammy Terry is just so much better. I was a little young, maybe.
How old are you?
I'm thinking my glory days as far as that went, maybe I was 7-8 years old.
Okay.
Maybe a year or two before discovering the things that Elvira had to offer that Sammy Terry did not.
Both of them.
Yeah. But I have much more fond memories, honestly, of Sammy Terry than I do of Elvira. He was just so much scarier. She was, very sarcastic, but
yeah,
he was scary to me as a kid.
Sure.
And then I do recall my uncle later on, my cousins at least, saying, "Oh, our dad sold Sammy Terry a car," and I was like, "Sammy Terry drives a car?
That feels wrong."
Yeah.
It's like seeing your teacher at a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing here? We thought you lived in the classroom. You thought he lived in the coffin at Channel 4.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Now, Richard, I don't think I've ever really asked you, where did you grow up?
I grew up here.
You did grow up here.
Yep.
Okay.
Lifelong.
So did you watch Sammy as well?
I mean, I remember every Friday night, trying harder than heck to be that kid who could stay up until, I think it was like midnight.
And not conk out at 11:30 or, yeah.
And also being exposed to these movies that, I look back now and they're actually not that scary. But as a kid, I think that was when I actually saw Trilogy of Terror. I could be wrong.
I know somebody on Facebook, I think Chris, my buddy Chris, who now lives in Minneapolis, that was his introduction to it. The scary voodoo doll and Karen Black. Weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think mine was King Kong versus Godzilla.
Ooh.
And I mentioned this, I think, on Facebook. I remember like the preview for next week, it was going to be Green Slime.
Right.
And I wanted to see that movie, and I did not.
Oh.
And I said, I don't know if I really want to at this point. Maybe if I ever happen to see
it. I think you should, because it's god awful.
Yeah. I thought it would really be interesting to go back and see that and see how bad it was.
Now, I have to ask, because I did not grow up here. I grew up in Michigan, mm-hmm. and I'll get to my story about this a little bit. But I'll say, did he show just schlocky stuff, or was there the occasional like Universal Classic? Mm-hmm. I mean, and of course, part of it is what was the television station willing to purchase?
Yeah,
Because exactly. Sometimes they would just get like Svengoolie and Rich Coase has told the story where they would, or Mystery Science Theater, they would just look and see what they had available or what they had bought and just kind of slap it on there.
Yeah. I would say I probably didn't watch it enough to recall.
Realize that. Okay.
Yeah, but I remember. Just like I said, Green Slime was the one I remember. King Kong versus Godzilla, those are kind of lower tier kind of things.
And, sure.
I thought they were good at picking films that fit with kind of his schlocky set.
Yeah,
had a low budget set. Mm-hmm. He didn't look, there was no extravagance to him whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was simple. He was the selling point.
Yep.
I mean, mm-hmm. he was the reason you watched it. I was sitting in my home today watching old YouTube videos.
Yeah. Thank you. And you know what? For once, we can actually thank you, YouTube.
Exactly.
Seriously, yeah. You can blow a whole day. it's funny when my daughter, who's 11, I say that every time. but her first experience with Sammy Terry, of course, was about a year or so ago when they showed a Horror Express.
Yeah.
And you have to say that with both syllables, otherwise that's a different movie. but this is when I was on Channel 4, and then we sat down and we went on YouTube and I started showing her old Bob Carter clips, and just so she could get that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now for me, I grew up in Flint, Michigan. My guy was Sir Graves Gastly on Channel 2 on CBS. It was Saturday afternoons, and same thing. Guy scared the bejeebies out of me, mm-hmm. And looking back, it's funny because I didn't remember the shtick at the time, mm-hmm. But he came out and dragged for a song. It's a weird thing. You have to go and look it up on YouTube. But there were funny bits in there, but you don't remember that because he had the maniacal laugh and he had the coffin just like Sammy did.
Yeah.
And they showed, you know, Universal stuff and, you know, horror, Monster of Party Beach and, you know, I guess whatever they could afford at that time. Now, in the eight, so I had that. Elvira was, of course, syndicated. Mm-hmm. There was Big Chuck and Little John, which were out of Cleveland. And actually, the guy who played Sir Graves was from Cleveland, who apparently would drive to Detroit a couple times a month to record the film as bits, mm-hmm. and then go back.
Wow.
And then... And Spengouli, for a brief period, who's out of Chicago, he's now on MeTV. But he was syndicated briefly in like Boston, San Francisco, Detroit. So there was a lot. It was great not having a driver's license in the early 80s and watching this. Now, and then there was a guy named Count Scary who was on occasionally. Now, that being said, I remember there was an Entertainment Tonight piece in the mid 80s about horror show hosts. And that was my introduction. Sammy was in the clip. There was a laugh and the green. And yeah. I mean, and so I always heard about it. So then when I came to Ball State my freshman year, I was a freshman at Ball State the last year Sammy was on TV regularly. So, and of course, I was not 21 and I was in college. And unless I found a very generous 21-year-old, and even if I did, I would stay in Friday nights and watch that. And guys are, you know, going out doing whatever college knuckleheads do on Friday night. Not me, my freshman year. I wanted to see Sammy Terry.
Yeah, very nice.
I mean, there's just so many incredible memories there.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of the friends that you gathered around the TV with. I mean, watching YouTube today, I was taken back to watching those movies. It was awesome. And then it also made me kind of lament that we don't have those kinds of characters on television.
Absolutely
anymore.
Lost art.
Yeah.
I mean, because every – and yes, we're going to pull up our black socks. Not you, Richard.
socks.
Yeah, we're going to – are they specially made? but yeah, every city had the horror show host and the cartoon, usually sometimes the same person.
Yeah.
You know, there was a local kid show and a local movie show, mm-hmm. and that's
I always thought
lost.
He was Janie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And that was great acting.
Yeah.
And that's why if you have MeTV, and I know in Indianapolis it's 13.3, but Spengouli is on Saturday nights, and
really?
And yeah, so you can see the Universal catalog there. So anyway, fast forward to. Oh, gosh. This is back in the old building at 14th and Marine, but I got to interview Bob Carter.
Nice.
Ooh. I got to interview Bob, and it was close to Halloween. He was doing what? You know, he was showing The Terror, the Boris Karloff, Jack Nicholson film on Channel 4, and he was still doing appearances at that used to be then called Deer Creek, and everybody had, you know, they still have them, the gigantic horror maze, haunted house things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so. And of course, I finally got in touch with him through through the phone, after a couple of things, a phone tag, and then I talked to him, and there was that thing where I immediately turned 12.
Oh,
you know, I was.
I love that.
You turned into Chris Farley.
Except I wasn't. I didn't grow up here, so I was like, I asked him for the interview, and he said, "Well, do you want to interview me or do you want to interview Sammy?" And I would never ever ask to interview Sammy Terry because that's his bread and butter. That's what he gets paid for.
Yeah.
And I did. I said just a little, and he's like, "Yeah, sure."
Oh,
so word traveled fast at WFYI that Sammy Terry was coming to the station, and so I remember I'm waiting in the lobby, and there's three coworkers waiting with me in the lobby. I'm like, oh, I see. And this is one of the first times I think I had to deal with celebrity wrangling. because otherwise he'd still be in the lobby talking to people. Yeah. And so he did the thing with the three. But I mean, and then we got him in studio, and I'm giving Bob Carter directions like he needs to be told what to do. You know. So we, you know, we go, and I said, we'll talk, we'll do a regular interview about the history of your career and television and everything, and I'll give you an obvious setup. And Sam, and he says to me, I got it.
I think I've done this once or twice.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm such an idiot. So we go for about 25 minutes, and then very obviously I go, well, you know, Bob, thank you for coming. Hey, who turned out the lights? And he did the laugh.
Wow.
And I remember trying to get, I got about three or four questions, and every time I would try to say something, he'd interrupt me and go, why do you look so scared, Matthew? And he actually got me to say, I'm scared. And then I asked him about, and I remember the last question was, what do you know about Bob Carter? And he went, oh, he's a nut, and then just laughed. And of course, we get done with the interview, and there's people in the hallway waiting to see him. And he wound up staying an extra hour, and we went to, and we had two buildings then, TV and radio. We did a tour of, it was almost like showing off. It was like show and tell. Here's my Bob Carter. Here's my Sammy Terry. But everybody from maintenance to vice presidents wanted to meet this guy. And they all wanted to say the same thing. He scared the crap out of me as a kid.
Yeah.
And he absolutely loved it and laughed. And also, because a lot of people, if you didn't know, real church-going guy. And he said, God bless you. Could you imagine being scared the bejeebus by a guy, and then you're told God bless you by, hi, Richard.
Well, you know I am a pastor.
You know that. That's why I was looking straight at you at the time. But you're not green. But, I mean, there was just a nice little bow on that. Yeah. So fast forward a few years later when I was doing reviews with Abdul on his show, and he was at ZPL. And it was another one, just promoting another thing, and he was on a kind of a tight schedule, and we were able to get him in studio for about like 3 or 4 minutes. And I think this might have been one of the last shows, live appearances he did, because I always remember he had trouble getting in and out of the chair in the studio.
Yeah.
And his handler was looking out for him, of course. Mm-hmm. But once he was situated, once the microphone is in front of him, I think Abdul and I asked like two questions, and he just went. Wow. He just riffed his Sammy Terry like nobody's business.
I've heard stories that a lot of the stuff at WTTV was lost and destroyed and
crime against humanity.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially crime. Nothing in the world more than that.
That's just it, yeah. And you think about, and of course, you know, different tangent. You know, that's why people like Martin Scorsese, everything that are trying to save film footage. But, yeah, as far as television footage, yeah, that's just sad.
Yeah, I think we're lucky. If anything, it's kind of a testament to the age of, you know, of YouTube, as we mentioned, that's available. I can, you know, I got on there a couple of days ago and showed my kids. It was great. I said, you guys, it was right. And I actually posted the intro. I shared it from Facebook with someone, not knowing he had passed away. And I found out in the middle of the day that he passed away. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I just posted the thing this morning. So I was like, I'm going to go show my kids. So as soon as I got home, I said, you guys come here. And I pulled – there's actually this tablet right here.
Which is great for radio because you're –
wonderful. Yeah, and I'm actually displaying it now to everyone. it is my Kindle Fire, or maybe it's an Apple iPad. You never know.
Whoever pays you first.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I gathered them around the chair, and I showed them. They were all immediately transfixed, just, you know, snap of a finger. It was the intro, with the whispering woman. And,
yeah.
And it was even creepy still. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he comes on, and it's just like, oh, look at that. And they're watching. As soon as it was over, it was about 3.5 minutes, I want to say, immediately they said, let's watch that again.
Yes.
And we watched it again, and my youngest was you know, he was sitting there, and my oldest kind of drifted away because he was like, oh, that's not scary, you know.
It sounds like me. I'm not scared.
Yeah, and he went to hide behind the couch for a minute. And so I held it up, and I said, listen, Mason, she's going to scream. And I kind of, you know, slowly moved the tablet closer and closer to his face, and I finally just let out this really high-pitched shriek, and he jumped. I mean, and he looked at me and said, that was not nice, Dad. And I said, I know, but it was very funny.
Wow, way to go.
There goes your father.
I was saying, can we just present that to him now?
And as I said, I posted on Facebook immediately after. I said, I think Sammy would have been proud, you know, to see that.
Well, we got a few coming. Actually, I want to play the tribute. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, we know Mark Carter, and we know Sammy Terry's been a guest on the show several times. And, you know, the question, of course, was how does one handle this? Mm-hmm. And I think what is on the Sammy Terry website, and it's SammyTerryNightmares.com. It is on there. You can check it out. You can go post your comments and your thoughts on Facebook. But I think this is really one of the most appropriate, most touching things I could see, not just for a creator, but I think also for a father and a son. Here it is.
I am Sammy Terry. I thank you for visiting my website. And I'd like to take a moment to give honor and reverence to a man that has given both you and me decades of wonderful memories, family traditions, and unforgettable spine-tingling thrills. The man that I speak of is Sammy Terry's very own creator, Robert Carter. And although Robert Carter has passed and left this realm, he has left behind a legacy of Hoosier heritage and influence that has impacted countless thousands of Indiana television viewers since he arrived on TV in the late 1950s. And having the heart of a true television pioneer, in 1962, over 50 years ago, Robert Carter created his greatest contribution to Indiana broadcasting, Sammy Terry. Now, whether you watched him regularly on Friday or Saturday nights on WTTV Channel 4, or you met him live at one of his hundreds of live stage shows and events, Robert Carter was as much a part of your growing up and heritage as he was mine. Most people agree that the definition of a life well lived is evidenced by their legacy outliving their earthly years. Well, Robert Carter's life well lived is indeed living on beyond his years through his creation, Sammy Terry. As Robert Carter's blood continues to don this cape, it is my honor to continue Robert's legacy and perpetuate his dream of bringing you and your new and future generations the same joy and fun-sized terror that you and I have shared for these past 50 years. At the conclusion of this message, I invite you to please take a moment to jot down and share your memories or what Robert Carter's contribution has meant to you by clicking the link below this window and sharing with me and Sammy's other fans on the Sammy Terry fan page on Facebook. And make sure you click the like button when you're there. So out of appreciation and honor for Robert Carter, a man who continues to mean so much to so many, I say thank you, Robert. And on behalf of my creator, myself, and George, we wish each and every one of you many pleasant nightmares.
Amen, brother.
Wow. Absolutely. Yeah.
So now with that, now, of course, that also the fact that if you're listening to this live, just to give you a note, there is a public visitation, which is happening now. It's happening until 8 o'clock Friday night at Singleton Mortuary, and that's 7602 Madison Avenue. So actually, I'm going to head there as soon as the show is over. Yeah. So anyway, you can check that out. But yeah, that was from SammyTerryNightmares.com. Sammy giving a wonderful tribute to his creator, Bob Carter. And that being said, I found this, of course, thanks to YouTube. This is Bob Carter as Sammy closing out, I believe, one of the exclusive screenings they did on TV of Night of the Living Dead.
The Night of the Living Dead. Terrible, wasn't it? But are you sure they're all gone? Have you looked outside? The trick-or-treaters are gone, but are you sure one of the living dead isn't hiding in the bushes, the shadow of a tree? Or maybe in the dark corner of the bedroom or behind the closet door? For 50 years, Channel 4 has been here just for you. And for most of them, George and I and our assorted fiends have created part of that horrible entertainment. And maybe tonight, we've done just a little bit more. As always, it's a thrill to send a cold chill up your spine. It helps everyone's circulatory system work better. Until we meet again. Many pleasant nightmares.
Even my great phantom stuff. Toes are tingling.
Yes, mine too. I have toes.
I want to mention real quick.
Yes.
Continuing the thing with my kids. Just this morning, my kids actually came up and had lunch with me at work. My wife and kids came out, and I broached this idea very delicately to my wife. We just decided, actually, just this morning, that we're going to have a drive-in party for my daughter. She's turning six.
Oh. Another lost art, drive-in.
Yeah, it's going to be in our backyard, but it's going to be drive-in themed.
Okay.
We're going to watch a movie.
You're going to take them to the Tibbs.
Yeah. Well, we did that earlier this year, too. But,
right.
But we're going to set up a makeshift screen and a projector and all that. Well, I had the idea, why don't we start with some of the old drive-in movie things.
Black Belt Jones in a little
bit. Yeah, exactly. But then this morning I said to her, hey, Jenna, why don't we, at the beginning, let's set up some Sammy Terry and play that, and then we'll find, a scary movie like Monster House or maybe Hotel Transylvania or something that's kind of scary for kids, for younger kids.
Don't laugh, Richard. These are kids.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah,
I think
she's
sweet.
Turning six. No. Okay. And my son, come who's on. 8 of course, said, Friday the 13th. And I said, no.
No.
Come on.
Because my wife immediately had the stone face look like, don't even think.
We call that sitcom wife look.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right.
Don't make me be the mature one.
Yeah, so I just brought, I said, well, let's ask Jenna. And Jenna goes, yes, I want Sammy Terry. So barring my wife stepping in, we may have an introduction from Sammy Terry before our movie happens to be.
We must have an update of this.
maybe I'll try to take some video.
See,
of
the
that.
Legacy or, continues.
Or we show up.
Or you can show up. Absolutely.
All right. So I actually have some stuff on some folks posted on my Facebook page, and I want to get through to these. John writes, he brought a lot of joy to tens of thousands of folks. I'm delighted that his son carries on with it. Yes.
Cool.
Natalie, he sparked my lifelong love of all things horror. And, of course, she's my Facebook friend. Dan writes, a prince. Had the privilege of meeting him myself because I name drop on Facebook all the time. Kristen writes, what a great childhood memory. Thanks for the creep, Sammy. Cindy writes, RIP Sammy, there were so many slumber parties back in the 1960s that always included Sammy on a Friday night. Not the way you wanted. We gals loved to be scared by Sammy's antics, and it was his show that gave me a true appreciation for a great actor, Vincent Price.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I can hear my wife's eyes rolling right now. Joan, who, of course, has been in the studio, he was a nice man. I went to school with his kids and got to be on his show a couple of times during my days at WTTV. Sally writes, I was so saddened to hear this, to see this. Sammy was a special, quote-unquote, guest to many slumber parties when I was in middle school. Yes, he was creepy, but in a friendly way. Just like yours truly. Lila from New York writes, the laugh that launched many a nightmare will be missed. Tony, hi Tony, and of course made the point of saying, he owned and ran the Family Music Center at 46th and Shadeland. Also, he was a great teacher. And Alan in Honolulu, yes, Honolulu, he will be missed. And Greg Zismer, I can do the last name because he's a local musician. I bought my 1979 Alvarez 5029 new from Bob at Carter's Family Music at 46 in Shadeland, a place where Bill Schaefer and I hung out a lot together when I was 19. Had the privilege of getting Sammy to autograph it 30 years later when he came to my hometown of Madison, Indiana in 2008 for a special Halloween appearance at the Ohio Theater at the meet and greet afterwards at Joey G's. It was not unusual to walk into Bob's store and see the coffin propped in the corner after he'd just returned from a public engagement. He always wore a shirt buttoned to the collar with a button cardigan sweater over it. It was hilarious because he would laugh. It was like Sammy Terry in a Fred Rogers disguise. A truly unforgettable Hoosier icon. I'm proud to have known him and still own a couple of great instruments he sold me. And then Leanne in Garden City, South Carolina. I grew up in the same neighborhood as Mr. Carter's Family Music Center. My late father, a middle school music teacher, told me that Mr. Carter was Sammy Terry, but I didn't believe him. My childhood friend and I would ride our bikes up to the music store and try to get Mr. Carter to admit he was Sammy Terry. At one time as we were leaving, he interrupted into his famous laugh and scared us half to death. We hightailed it out of there. Mr. Carter was a wonderful man that brought music education to kids during the day and scared them by night.
Wow.
And, yeah, so there's so
many. You know,
what's
cool
is
I live in that neighborhood, and I had no idea that history.
Really?
Yeah, no idea.
Wow. That's, man.
That's pretty cool.
And I owe, hold on a second, I think, and I'm not, yes, I'm on Facebook during the show.
Of course you are.
And the computer is slow. But I would say, I believe your cousin, Joe, put something on my page. I would read it, except it's not popping up. But it's interesting to look back at. And I remember Melissa Davis, who, of course, producer emeritus here at WFYI, and watched Spengoolie. And she also, as a kid, being scared of him. And I think it's only, I think, now you look and you hear the stuff with George and you hear the bad puns and that the jokes really stand out more. But I think, yeah, I think everybody thinks of, first thing, of course, is the look and the maniacal laugh. And it's funny, listening to that clip, I always remember, and it's the same thing with Sir Graves, I'm sure it was with every major city horror show host, is that you're watching it and you know it's to the end, and they always end with a big bang, and then a TV goes to black. And then some commercial,
yeah.
You know, some you know, tire barn or some car dealership, and
yeah.
Everything. Okay. Oh, I just messed up your page.
I'll tell you, I had one reader respond right before I left for here.
Right.
Brent, who shared his memory of hanging out with his best friend on Friday night. You know, trying to stay up late. You know, kind of that. I think that memory.
I think I can do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And his friend hardly ever made it, but he always did. Mm-hmm. So it's.
Okay, so here we go. This is from Joe's cousin Jill. Thank you, Joe. I wasn't allowed to watch Sammy Terry at my mom's house because I had to go to bed like clockwork, and she wouldn't let us watch scary shows. But every other weekend, when we would stay with my dad for the weekend, he would always let us stay up late to watch it. Way to go.
Yeah. Not only that, he encouraged it. It may have been required.
Of course. We had a somewhat creepy house in Irvington with hardwood floors, and there was an echo in the house. My dad would always laugh like Sammy Terry to get us freaked out and ready to watch the show. The echo in the house made it extra creepy. No, your dad made it extra creepy. I'm kidding. My dad would order pizza and turn all the lights off. We would anxiously await the opening of Sammy Terry while snuggled up on the couch. Aww. There was nothing like watching Sammy Terry on our old scratchy TV with Dad. And the screen just went away. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Gotta love technology. Pizza in one hand and a glass bottle of Coke in the other. There's some of my favorite childhood memories with my dad. I saw Sammy Terry at the State Fair a few years ago, and seeing him brought it all back. He will be missed. I can't wait to show my kids some episodes. So thank you so much for that. Man. So
I'm bummed now, dude.
I brought you down more than
down.
You already are.
I am down.
Yeah.
I'm stumped.
Like, you can always count on Richard to be offensive toward himself.
But at least he says it first, so we're not in trouble. But yeah, big raise of the glass and a salute to Bob Carter.
Standing ovation.
The standing ovation, except you, Richard. And but it's interesting because I've said this with my daughter. We have the thing that we do as far as I want to word this properly. There are certain beliefs that we would tell Emma. That are happening in the head and in the heart, and the fact that Bob was a walking example of that. I mean, we've talked about, and you can say what you will about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and or a bigger spiritual a higher spiritual being, but it's they're always there if you let it. And of course, I think. The clip on the Sammy Pateri page also sums that up best.
Yeah.
But the fact that we had a piece of walking proof, knowing that Sammy Pateri is still going to be with us.
Oh, yeah.
To this day. So thank you so much, Bob. Okay. We're going to shift gears a little bit. I guess we're going to keep on. Let's just like Thelma and Louise. Let's just keep on going.
All right.
Okay.
If you have any plans tonight, well, you can't do anything at the IMA because tonight it's sold out.
Uh-oh.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, missed out.
Missed out on that.
Wow.
So, yeah, give me the whip. Give me the – remember – all right, trivia. Who was the give me the idol guy?
Richard, I'll give you the
You should know this. I didn't know this until a few years ago.
Bob Carter.
It was not Bob Carter.
That Dr. Octopus.
Very good. It was Alfred Molina who played Doc Ock, who played that guy. So –
You're so good at tying things in. I thought for sure it was Bob Carter.
You know what we do? We bring the room together. We're the dude's rug.
I would have said his character from Boogie Nights, but I don't remember what his name was.
But we remember what he wore, and that's just way too much. I don't think even Mrs. Molina wants to see that
absolutely
much Alfred
not.
Molina.
One of the great scenes of all time, by the way.
A great one-scene wonder. I remember somebody... Might have been Entertainment Weekly. They talked about the one scene wonders. There was Alfred Molina. Mm-hmm. There was Frances McDormand in Lone Star.
Mm-hmm.
Beatrice Straight, who won an Oscar with her one scene. She made it count.
Yeah.
So, and actually, for once, good use of Night Ranger.
Yes, yes.
Wow. And one Rick Springfield.
One of the few times you can say that.
Don't be dissing Rick Springfield.
I'm
do
sorry.
Not diss Rick Springfield.
Are you waiting to do the Blu-ray commentary
I'm
for
actually
Hard
trying
to
get an interview with him.
Are you really?
I am.
Yeah,
you can ask him why his cartoon was terrible.
Oh,
that's not the only thing.
You just need to love. You just need
How
to
come?
Love somebody, dude.
Oh my gosh, you quoted that. That's so bad. All right, let's before things get really out of hand. The other thing that happened, I don't want to get in trouble for this. I'm kind of in a way. I'm kind of glad that this obit happened first. And I say that, and it's Jim Kelly, because I always remember when
the Bills quarterback,
Bills quarterback, okay. Black Belt Jones, Jim Kelly. There's always somebody in the group that does that, and you're it, Richard.
I will say that Jim, the quarterback Jim Kelly, has had some cancer battles lately, and
he has.
When I first saw it, that was what
you
thought.
You did thought it was the Bills quarterback,
yeah. And I was like, oh, and then I was like, I saw it, and then I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh, again.
It's I think if I remember, it was. Because I think Jimmy Stewart and Robert Mitchum die around the same time, and so it was almost kind of a not it wasn't intentionally stealing thunder, but the fact was, on Sunday we had heard that that karate master and action film star of the 70s Jim Kelly died. Yeah. We found out about that on Sunday. Monday we found out about Bob Carter. So, and I would have started the show with Jim Kelly, but Jim Kelly's not local, and Bill Cemetery's more important.
Yeah.
But Jim Kelly, who, was a karate champion and then became, I guess, for those who don't memorize names, he was the black guy in Enter the Dragon and had made such a strong impression in that film. That director Robert Klaus and producer Fred Weintraub decided to make their own movie for him, called Black Belt Jones. So let me start with a famous scene that he has in Enter the Dragon, And then we'll get to some Black Belt Jones because, well, they're both must-haves. So here is the scene with Williams meeting Mr. Han. Stop quoting Kentucky Fried Movie.
Mr. Han, you fought well yesterday. Your style is unorthodox, but effective. It is not the art, but the combat that you enjoy.
The winning.
We are all ready to win, just as we are born knowing only life. It is defeat that you must learn to prepare for.
I don't waste my time with it. When it comes, I won't even notice.
Oh, how so?
I'll be too busy looking good.
What were you looking for when you attacked my guards?
Wasn't me.
You were the only man outside the palace.
I was outside, but I wasn't the only one.
You will tell me who else.
Mr. Han, suddenly I'd like to leave your island.
It is not possible.
Bull, Mr. Handman. Man, you come right out of a comic book.
And by the way, I think coming straight out of a comic book is even better than Jive Turkey when it comes to 70s put downs.
Yeah, it is.
And yeah, I don't bleep. I just take out the word.
Oh, so, yeah, okay.
So
oh.
Yeah, I know. And it's fun because I know people who listen to if people who are listening to the show and know the movie are like, "Uh-oh, here it comes." Oh, okay. So
I thought, "Wait, that doesn't sound right."
No. Okay, so because of the success of Enter the Dragon, he was able to get his own film, Black Belt Jones.
You first saw him in Enter the Dragon. Now see him as he's never been seen before. Jim Kelly is Black Belt Jones. See him train his own army of girl high jumpers to help penetrate the hideaway of one of the mob's biggest bosses. See him retrieve 25 grand from the mob's own vault, guarded by the toughest hoods in the underworld. See Black Belt Jones join forces with a super chick who's a smash at karate and really means business. Jim Kelly, international karate champ, and Gloria Henry are a super team in Black Belt Jones from Warner Brothers Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent. When you're hit by Black Belt Jones, it's a smash hit.
Enter Jim Dragon Kelly. He clobbers them off as Black Belt Jones.
I lost three of my best men in there. Now I'm asking you as a favor.
You're asking me to be the fourth. Get a couple of tanks and blast it down.
Forget it, man. I ain't going in there. It's a fortress.
Well, fortress or no, it's top priority.
So am I. It's suicide.
And dust to dust.
Now, who killed my father? Who's Pinky?
What you want, for little mama?
I ain't your mama.
She brought tea.
What's wrong, man?
Oh, Black Belt, she is good, man. She is bad.
What are you talking about?
Sydney. She went into the hip pocket.
What?
She's a fighter like us, man. And pop. She is bad. Ooh, she's bad.
Now, what are you doing? No, you stay here till I get back. Do those dishes or something.
They're done.
Black Belt Jones leads his private commandos into the nerve center of a gangland stronghold to crack a super crime conspiracy.
Enter. Jim. Dragon. Kelly.
You don't need these.
What the hell is that? Handy! That son of a bitch threw his panties in my face!
This is the movie that breaks through to a new dimension in film excitement as Kelly takes on the underworld.
Why there isn't a two-disc Criterion collection of Black Belt Jones is beyond me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Get on the phone. We'll get that going.
That and Three the Hard Way. I was telling these guys as you guys were enjoying that, that, of course, is a radio promo, which, by the way, radio promos for movies don't happen anymore, yeah, as well as an extended trailer of Black Belt Jones starring Jim Kelly, who died earlier this week. I think he was in his late 67. But I'm looking through. His first film was Melinda, which is one of the few films I have not seen. Then, of course, he played Williams in Enter the Dragon. That led him to being in Black Belt Jones, which, by the way, is the first. Yeah, it's the first African American kung fu film. Martial arts film. The Last Dragon has nothing on Black Belt Jones. Nothing.
What about Dolomite?
Okay, there's. I wouldn't exactly call Dolomite a kung fu movie. It is a great movie in its own right.
Absolutely.
There is some kung fu. Mm-hmm.
And there's something, something.
And some riffing that we can never, ever do here.
Yeah.
That also led to, and this is another one I want, a two-disc Criterion set, Three the Hard Way, which was the first teaming of Jim Brown, Fred Williamson, and Jim Kelly.
Wow.
Yeah, in fact, there is a two-disc set on Warner Brothers. Well, you know, one of the Warner Brothers four films on two DVDs,
yeah,
and Three the Hard Way and Black Belt Jones are on those, whoa, as well as, if I remember right, Black Samson and something else. I don't know.
But it doesn't really matter. It
doesn't really matter, but I mean, that's a bargain right there.
Yeah.
Wow. Then there was the action film Golden Needles, and then it was the next collaboration with Jim Brown, Fred Williamson, and Jim Kelly, mm-hmm, with Lee Van Cleef. It was the Western, spaghetti Western, Take a Hard Ride, where he plays, guess what, he's barefoot, mm-hmm, he wears a hat, mm-hmm, he dabbles in kung fu, this sounds vaguely familiar, right? Mm-hmm. Except he's mute. And not David Carradine.
Wow.
So there's that. And then The Hot Potato, which was considered a sequel to Black Belt Jones. Then there was The Black Samurai. And then he started doing films in the Philippines, and the budgets got cheaper and cheaper. Yeah. So films like Black Samurai, Tattoo Connection, which was sometimes labeled Black Belt Jones 2, depending on your DVD or VHS copy of that. Yeah. Death Dimension, Joe, I want you to come on over here, and so you know I'm not making this up. Apparently he did a film in 1979 called Mr. No Legs.
Why have I not seen that?
I don't know.
I feel
left out.
At this, man.
Remake, Richard.
I am so going
with
home.
With John Agar. Oh, my gosh. Richard Jackal. Just
say that name again. Mr. No Legs?
Mr. No Legs, 1979. Directed by Riku Browning.
I have to find that on eBay.
You might. Oh my gosh! And the guy who directed it. What else is?
Wonder if I could be in the sequel.
Yeah.
I think shoot for a remake.
Yeah, remake. Yeah.
Directed. Ooh. This guy directed several episodes of Flipper and Gentle Ben in the 60s.
Wow.
The underwater sequences in Hello Down There, which just came out on Warner Archives. Oh. Salty, which I've never heard. And, of course, his final feature, Mr. No Legs. Wow. Mm. I wish I could say I planned that, Richard. I did not.
You did not.
Ultimatum.
I wish you had a trailer for
Stranglehold.
It.
Stranglehold. No, we'll have to look at it.
We might not.
Oh, in 1982, and of course IMDb is wrong, they had it labeled 1976, but there was a sequel to Three the Hard Way called One Down, Two to Go, which I believe, yeah, I get it because it's three, and then there's
yeah,
one. And this one is not only written and directed by Fred Williamson, but it teams up Fred Williamson, Jim Brown, and Jim Kelly again, and Richard Roundtree.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, big deal.
That's the Holy Quadrilogy.
That, thank you. So there's all that.
Wow.
Yes. So, Jim Kelly, thank you so much. This is obviously an extended version of Dead People we like.
Mm-hmm.
We really like.
Really like.
But yeah, that was really, really cool.
Now that he's dead, I wonder if he got his legs back.
Mr. No Legs?
Yeah.
That's your new project, isn't it? You just want to find this film. You look it up on IMDb. So,
yep.
All right, let's take a, you know, we're going to take a short breather. No, let's just keep going.
Who needs to breathe?
People who need.
Remember
people?
That episode of Seinfeld where they're test driving the car and it was almost out of gas, and they just said, "Let's just keep going." That's us.
Yes, that's us. Okay, I said this. We have about 10 minutes left in the show, and that's. Oh, by the way, tonight and tomorrow night, midnight at Landmark Cinemas, Keystone Arts. It's part of their summer midnight movie series, Miami Connection.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
I know. Almost nothing about this film. I have seen the trailer when we went to see The Room at midnight, the film that, of course, Joe calls me a sadist for liking. But from the look of it, it looks like it was foreign finance, but it was shot in Miami, actually. And it looks late 70s, early 80s, and it looks like a disco rock band fighting drug dealers.
Yeah.
Why would you not go see that?
Exactly. I'm sorry. From 1987, I just thank you,
wow.
IMDb.
There you go.
A martial arts rock band goes up against a band of motorcycle ninjas who have tightened their grip on Florida's narcotics trade.
Yes,
we're
please.
There.
I
think
so
we're
there.
Directed by two people with director credits, YK Kim and Woo-Sang Park.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, gee. Only title for Mr. Kent for YK Kim. And apparently runs a martial arts studio in Orlando.
Oh.
And director, okay, I can't pronounce these. Freeze from originally from, oh, he died in 2006 in Korea, but made films like L.A. Street Fighters, Kill the Ninja, The Fourth Largest Shaolin Temple, Gang Justice, Chinatown 2. I don't think it's the two
I don't
Jakes.
Think it's, yeah.
No. American Chinatown and KK Family List. So anyway, I'm going to be there tonight, so hopefully you folks will be out there as well.
Wow.
That's a weekend right there. All right, so we got less than 10 minutes left, and I guess starting in opening in theaters today, we have the documentary 20 Feet from Freedom, which I'm really hoping to check out this
There's
weekend.
There's a feet theme going on today.
Yeah.
Feet. This is in Measure, not in Anatomy.
Okay.
Anyway, what I've heard, a really fascinating documentary about backup singers, and then we have the concert film Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain, and I guess we need to move into Johnny Depp's latest paycheck, known as The Lone Ranger.
Passion Project,
yes. Because he has not worked enough with Gore Verbinski,
mm-hmm.
and instead of Pirates of the Caribbean, we now have a theme park ride set in the Old West.
Pirates of the Wild Wild West.
However, Kenneth Branagh does not turn into a mechanical spider.
Oh, good.
That probably would have been a little more interesting, I think.
I think it would have been.
So, Richard, you did see this?
I have seen this.
You're the guest.
I am.
Why don't you begin on all 2.5 hours of The Lone Ranger?
And that's all we need
that's
to say
just
about that.
So, you know, this was actually one of my most anticipated films.
This was really?
I really wanted to see this.
Uh-huh.
I had high expectations for it, and I was so incredibly disappointed.
Yeah.
It was a retread of things we've seen before. Army Hammer is...
I'm sorry, not Brendan Fraser.
No.
That's I can't remember who came up with that first.
That was Nick Rogers, I believe.
Really?
The Build Me Up song, Nick Rogers.
Okay.
That's, you know...
Yeah, it's a buddy it's a buddy cop western. Because guess what? At the beginning of this film, Tonto and the Lone Ranger don't like each other.
Exactly.
Really?
And Tonto, you don't know if he's a good guy or if he's a bad guy. Is he Tonto Sparrow? Or, yeah, it's just... And by the way, and speaking of the thing that really starts the film,
uh-huh.
that really irritated me, is the Princess Bride narrative.
Oh.
It starts in 1933 San Francisco, and there's an exhibit of the Wild West, and there's a kid with a Lone Ranger mask, and there's an exhibit with the old Indian savage, who is actually an old person standing there and then starts talking. And it's Johnny Depp in old age makeup. Not quite like Armie Hammer and J. Edgar, but fairly close. And so the questions are, right off the bat are, who is this old guy? Why is he standing in a museum exhibit? I don't think it's symbolic. I don't think it's supposed to represent something. It's just this old weird guy wandering around talking to kids. Yeah. And throughout the film, there are little interruptions. So we get back to the boy and the old man, just like in The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I mean, there's nothing original in it. There's nothing overly entertaining in it. It has moments.
It does have moments. I will say this. I enjoyed the villains. I enjoyed William Fincher. Who looks like a cross between, a spaghetti western villain and an 80s metal band front singer, lead man. Yeah. And Tom Wilkinson. Always reliable, Tom Wilkinson.
Tom Wilkinson is, he can do anything, it seems like.
Pretty much.
He brings it right up.
And he's the railroad baron that,
is he behind you?
He's not.
You keep looking behind him.
No, there's somebody in the studio.
It's a villain.
And by the way, the horse, Silver, gets more action in this movie than War Horse. I mean stunt work. This isn't Equus.
Wait, what are we talking about now?
As far as action sequences, there's a scene in War Horse where he's starting to run through the trenches and through the barbed wire. And now this film got silly.
And he happens upon a stable, and there are lots of female horses.
He does come upon.
Wow.
Yeah, he does get some action. But yeah, really. And the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, we have not even brought up the fact that Johnny Depp is playing Tonto. That I think that's I really wasn't offended because we grew up watching movies in the 50s where people like, I don't know, Martin Landau and Burt Lancaster and Paul Newman a lot of Jewish actors have played Indians. Woody
so much
Strode
of the film was so
Indian.
Ludicrous it was hard to take that seriously.
Yeah.
Who cared?
Yeah, so, I mean, and the last half hour, this thing has no business being 2.5 hours long.
No.
Absolutely not. And then it just gets into theme park ride, and I think, as David Edelstein put it on Fresh Air, it's bury my heart at Wounded Knee meets Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh. Mm. So, painful.
Yeah, it's, not digging that at all. Where is it? Oh, look, there you are, Joe.
It's dumb.
It was dumb, so... Now, also opening in theaters, which a lot of people had hopes for, is Despicable Me 2. We got about 2 minutes or so. Joe, worth it? Worth a sequel?
Oh, loved it. Yes,
really.
Absolutely. I was a big fan of the first one. Loved the second one. I'm going to say this: go see it in 3D. The 3D
really?
Is outstanding.
I agree.
It's one of those situations where lots of things jump out at you.
Yep.
Perfectly fits in.
Are there 3D minions?
The end credits have a lot
stay
of
stay through the credits.
Yeah, much as the first film, where they had a couple of neat things. They do a lot more with that in the second one. There was a point where I looked, I diverted my attention. The grass at the bottom of the screen was in 3D, and it appeared that it was sticking out over the aisle in front of me, and I was very impressed by that.
I usually do not like 3D, and I love the 3D
in
this
film.
Yeah,
same here. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and the story is fun. They've managed to have more of the minions without ramming them down our throats. Mm-hmm. They're still cute at the end.
Yep.
We're not tired of them. The story is fun. It's not overly unpredictable, but it's a good, solid time at the movies. Doesn't quite have the darkness that the first one had. There's a couple little fun, kind of dark comic nuggets in the first one that aren't really there, but it has the same general tone.
Okay. Yeah. So there's that. Oh, and by the way, Day of the Dead happening this weekend. Go to dayofthedead.com for ticket information. Apparently, Sammy Terry might be there tomorrow, but obviously, under the circumstances, you might want to check it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, Roddy Piper and Linda Blair, and isn't Danny Trejo?
Yes, Keith David. Roddy Piper and Keith David.
No,
they live
do
reunion.
Not tell him to put on the glasses. Yeah. All right, we don't have words to live by, but we do have this. Richard Probst of the Independent Critic, Joe Scheer of the Film Yap, thanks for hanging out and raise a glass to Bob Carter. Thanks, guys. You're listening to... go see a good movie. You deserve it. Hope to see you at Miami Connection tonight at midnight. Shut up. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Go Tigers and good night, Fort Myers. Kobe isn't here and I am and I'm gone.